This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers. He'll join us in just a moment as we look at what the cotton crop on the Southern High Plains looks like. That in just a moment. First off, USDA economist Mark Kenner looks at major bulk ag product exports so far this fiscal year.
Wheat exports fiscal year to date through June are $4.9 billion, down 10% from last year. Corn exports are $11 billion, down 31%. Soybean exports are $29.5 billion, up 4% from last year. And cotton exports are $5.1 billion, down 24% from last year.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. We'll have a website address if you want to keep up with what's going on with PCG. We'll find that website address here in just a moment. But, Mark, we start the conversation with a slight break in the heat that we've seen triple-digit temperatures really for the past month. What's that done to the cotton crop?
Well, Tony, there's been a lot of relentless heat units that we've collected without the assistance of very much rainfall, and so we've had to rely a whole lot on irrigation this year. And as we go out and we look across our Plains Cotton Growers production area, we've got a lot of fields that are now either in hard cutout or have reached physiological cutout. I was in a drip field just this morning over at Idaloo that had about 4 nodes above the white flower, which is basically what we would determine as cutout. And so, you know, that's not all that bad, because typically we talk about the week of August 15th through the 20th. This time frame that we're in right now, that is typically our last effective bloom date. And we can be pretty well assured that if we can set blooms during this week, that in most years they'll have the opportunity to go ahead and mature and make a good high-quality bowl. And so with the fact that a lot of these irrigated fields are going into cutout now, that's not such a bad thing. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the dry land that we've got out there has been cut out for weeks and just has a very small number of bowls. And so we're going to have to wait and see how many of those dry land acres will continue on to harvest. And I do know in talking with producers and gin managers that a lot of these dry land fields most likely will not make it to harvest here in our area. I do want to say, though, we've got some really nice looking cotton, especially throughout the middle tier of the Plains Cotton Growers area. As you travel out east of Lubbock and eastern Lubbock County, over into Crosby County, up to Floyd County, parts of Hale County, parts of Lamb County, you can really see some nice looking fields. And so we are going to have some good cotton out here. The good news is that even though we did not get the help that we had hoped for in a timely manner from El Nino, and we had very, very little assistance in July and August, we still are going to have a decent crop. And it's just going to be a matter on these irrigated fields of continuing from this week on another 20 days or so. It's very critical that those blooms for the first 20 days that they begin bowl development, they really can deserve any water stress. And then after, we can take a little bit of moderate stress with the fact that cotton is relatively drought tolerant, and so hopefully also we can maybe pick up a few rain showers here and there to go ahead and fill some of those bowls out.
Now, we've already seen the harvest starting, and it's working its way north. Obviously, it will depend upon Mother Nature, but strippers will start running when?
Yeah, well, we're going to see a lot of these fields that are going to be finished in terms of maturation within another 50 days or so. And then it's just going to be a matter of what the temperatures do and how this cotton continues to mature out. You know, a lot of times we'll see defoliation occurring out here around the third or fourth week of September, certainly by early October. So I would not be surprised at all to see harvesting going on out here by mid-October. And so we'll just have to see how all that plays out. We've still got several weeks to go, and it looks like we've got still continued hot weather in the forecast. We're going to continue to accumulate those heat units.
Now, some producers have been using PGRs, plant growth regulators, throughout the season. Others have been using whether it's a pesticide to control a pest in the field, or a herbicide to control some weed pressure. Whenever we start talking about these tools in the toolbox, there's a little acronym out there, EPA, that all of this really falls underneath their umbrella. When I mentioned EPA, you had a chance to be on an EPA tour. What happened there?
Yeah, we had a very good tour, and it was conducted by the Cotton Foundation, the Educational Outreach Group. And so we had National Cotton Council representatives, along with folks from Plains Cotton Growers, that were able to meet with 11 officials from Washington area. We had 9 officials from EPA. We had one from the USDA Pest Management Division, and then we had one person there from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And the goal of this was to bring them out here and let them see firsthand cotton production ongoing here on the High Plains. And we were able to do that. They were out on several farms. They got to see some organic cotton production. They got to look at a variety nursery that was actually non-GMO cotton, but it was surrounded by dicamba cotton that had been sprayed by the dicamba on all four sides. And I think that was impressive to them that they saw no damage in that nursery. And so they got to see the cotton. They got to see, unfortunately, a lot of drought stress, especially in those dry land acres, but we saw some very good cotton fields as well, and some fields that were hanging on out there in spite of the lack of rainfall. And in addition to that, they got to tour through Terry County Cotton Gin, and we appreciated the opportunity to take them through and to let them see that. They had a lot of questions, and you know, I was very impressed that they were highly interested and had a lot of just good practical questions, just wanting to know more about it. And so the goal there and the hope is that whenever they're back in Washington, D.C., that they'll have a better comprehension of the issues that our producers are dealing with out here on a day-to-day basis. And we know that it's the job of those agencies to create the regulations that we have to abide by. And, you know, one comment that I heard during the tour is that our producers want good science-based decisions. And as long as those decisions are made from sound science, then that's what we desire as well. Because, you know, our producers live out here on the land that they're utilizing to produce their crops. And they're drinking from those water wells that are on that land, and they want to leave that land in as good or better shape than what they got it from. And so I think that there was just good conversation that was held with those EPA officials and with our producers out here. Hopefully that'll bode well in the future for the decision-making process that they have to go through.
And finally, just a couple of minutes left, but when we talk about listening, Farm Bill, We're still on track to get a new farm bill maybe by the end of this year, but listening is something members of Congress are doing, right?
That is right. And even though we've got the August recess, we still have a lot of activity with our congressmen being out in their locations and working hard, bringing in information. As far as the region, we've got a farm bill that Congressman Jody Arrington and Congressman Ronnie Jackson are going to be putting on a listening session at West Texas A&M. That is August 16th at 5 o'clock, and it'll be about an hour and a half session. So it'll be a fairly quick session, but it'll be a good opportunity for producers to give information to these two congressmen that they can take back to their cohorts as they continue to work on these farm bills. And of course, producer organizations have already turned in their priority requests from the standpoint of cotton, and that includes looking at a possible increase in feed cotton reference prices, looking at some crop insurance things such as being able to utilize stacks and PLC at the same time, and then looking at adjustments in the upland cotton marketing loan program. And those loan values that we're at currently, Tony, have been in place since 2002. So if there's any way that we could get some adjustments made to be more realistic in terms of the market and the input prices that producers are dealing with today, we think that would be extremely helpful.
Okay, Mark, if we want to keep up with what's going on at Plains Cotton Growers, how do we do that?
I hope that folks are receiving our weekly newsletter, and we release that cotton news on Fridays. If you need to get that, be sure and contact our office at 806-792-4904, or you can always reach us on our website. And that's a great place to also connect with us on various social media platforms. That website is at plainscotton.org.
Mark Brown is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
American agriculture creates millions of jobs all the while feeding and clothing the world. But with many policymakers so removed from the farm, attacks on farm policy threaten our livelihood and quality of life in rural America. Our strength is our willingness to work together for the benefit of all. That's why business and farm leaders have formed the Southwest Council of Agribusiness to defend the bedrock of our economy and our way of life. This is Larry Combest. The Southwest Council of Agribusiness is at southwest-council.com.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Mark Brown, Plains Cotton Growers. Online, plainscotton.org.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
American agriculture creates millions of jobs, all the while feeding and clothing the world. But with many policymakers so removed from the farm, attacks on farm policy threaten our livelihood and quality of life in rural America. Our strength is our willingness to work together for the benefit of all. That's why business and farm leaders have formed the Southwest Council of Agribusiness, to defend the bedrock of our economy and our way of life. This is Larry Combest. The Southwest Council of Agribusiness is at southwest-council.com.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
For the first 9 months of this fiscal year, the U.S. has exported ag products worth $141.4 billion.
It's down 7% from $152.1 billion this time last year.
And USDA economist Bart Kenner says U.S. ag exports have been slumping month by month by month since back in March. And Kenner counted for us down the monthly export amounts each month starting with March.
15.9, 14.4, 13.9, 12.8 from March to June.
Just a consistent monthly export decline. Lots of factors working. One, increasing production of many major crops in other countries also.
A big part of the story is price competitiveness.
Due to a stronger dollar, making U.S. goods more expensive on the world market. One other factor, a
cooling global economy.
USDA projects ag exports for the year will be down 8% from last year's record high. Gary Crawford, Washington.